I want you to want me.
Hello, hello, this is Robin Zander. I want you to listen to Randy Harris. That's right, he's my friend.
I love that liner. The only thing that I love more than that liner is to be able to say, let's welcome back to the program, Robin Zander. Robin, how are you?
Randy Harris, how are you, dude?
Not too bad. It's been a while. How are you? How's the family?
Everybody's good. Pam's good. You know, my daughter's out in college in Boston, and I'm sitting here in Washington, D.C., trying to drum up support for Randy Harris.
Well, I appreciate that. What's it like being back out on the road after the crazy year and a half that we've lived through?
It's a blast. I mean, it's a lot of fun. People want to come out. I don't think they even care who's on stage. They just want to come out and party.
Oh, I think they care. When they find out that you guys are back performing, they care.
Yeah, well, you know, all the audiences have been full, and they've been having a blast, so that's the most important thing. You know, to be cooped up like that, even if financially it doesn't hurt you, depending on what kind of job you're doing, it's still being isolated and confined to one little spot, so it's good for people to get out and breathe some fresh air.
No, absolutely. We're going to talk about the event right around the corner. But first, I know you're a big Buccaneer fan. Haven't talked to you in a while. Give me your thoughts on last season winning the Super Bowl. And what are they, 6-1 right now?
6-2.
6-2.
Yeah, well, it's 6-2, yeah. It was fantastic last year. I mean, we all just died because, you know, before that, there was this sort of underlying, I don't want to say hatred, but this sort of underlying bad feelings towards the quarterback. And you know, I sort of understood it. You know, he's, you know, the best quarterback in the league, and you always want to tear that guy down, whoever it is. But then when he came to our team, all of a sudden all that changed.
Funny how that happens, yeah, right?
I know. And we love him now. So, you know, but last season was fantastic. And this season, you know, he's only had two losses, and we're looking forward to the rest of the season for sure.
Well, you know, and if you look at, you know, the record now compared to what the record was at this point last year, you know, they're ahead of schedule. I think every once in a while a loss is good. And not that it changes because they're all professionals, but every once in a while you're slapped back into reality. It's like, oh, you know, I do need to whatever that might be.
I agree. And I totally think that is very true. People sort of, you know, if you win all the time, you sort of relax a little bit and you even forget little things that got you there in the first place. So a loss takes all that back, puts it right in front of your face, and says, you got to stop doing this, or, you know, you got to fix that. And so I agree with you totally. A couple losses, so what? There you go.
So speaking of in front of you and back in place, November 23rd, there's three events coming up, but we'll talk about November 23rd first at the Amway Center. A charity, Pros for Heroes, which happens to be my wife's birthday as well. You'll be back at it in our backyard in Orlando. You know, talk about that.
I have to bring her a birthday present or something, you know. listen, you know, charity work is something we do all the time, and we've done it for 47 years now with the Boys Club and with the 12 Million Dog March and the Save the Elephants and stuff like that.
Right. Well, the Mike Allstott charity event, which is where I met you.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. And if we can't make it there, we usually give something like a guitar or something like that. Or, you know, so I'm looking forward to this. You know, it's for a good cause. And, you know, if you're involved in it and I can do it, I'm there.
And the charity, just to get it out, if you want more information, the charitypros.org. It's to honor frontline healthcare workers, which my wife is as well, and first responders. So definitely check it out. Check out, you know, Robin and Foreigner and John, forgot his name, Fogarty, sorry.
Yeah.
And Casey Bishop, you know, all involved in that. I know that your children have followed your footsteps, you know, musicians, they've been on stage. What's that like for you as a father to watch your children up on stage?
It's fantastic. You know, it's not something that I ever pushed them to do, but, you know, with instruments laying around the house all their lives and stuff, they were inquisitive and really wanted to, you know, learn what was going on with Dad. And I think that just kind of seeped under their skin, so to speak. They're very talented individuals. My son, he's actually playing in Cheap Trick right now. Tom Peterson. Yeah, Tom Peterson had heart surgery in March, and he's coming back February. So, but since then, Robin's been taking his place and doing one heck of a job.
So Robin, you know, this question Randy brings up often on the radio show. You know, like some of his favorite bands, you know, that they're not the same members. They were never the, you know, Little River Band may not even have any original.
They don't.
At what point does it change the legacy of that band if like the original members have moved on but they're still playing the same music, or is it still the same iconic, you know, sound and tribute?
Well, I think it depends. You know, it depends first of all on how upfront the members of the band are. Like for instance, with Rod Stewart, it didn't really matter much if you changed the bass player. You know.
Right.
Sort of faceless, except for him. But with us, it's difficult because the four of us were very prominent in sort of caricatures of ourselves. And there's only four of us, so losing somebody like that is difficult. And we overcame that twice now, once with the drummer, Bunny, not being able to play, and now this time with Dax. I mean, with Robin, my son, entering the fold. Dax took Bunny's place as a drummer, and now Robin's taken Tom's place. But Tom is coming back, and we're happy about that. But you're right. It does change the perception a little bit, and people are inquisitive about it. Some people even get angry about it, even though it's beyond your control. But the most important thing about it, I think, is the music. And if people love the music, they're going to still hear Rick Nielsen up there playing guitar. They're still going to hear me singing the songs, so they'll get, you know, get most of their wishes fulfilled, I guess.
Robin, let me ask you this. I remember vividly texting you the day the big news came out, Cheap Trick in the Hall of Fame, and I'm curious, have you ever taken the time, have you and Pam ever sat back and taken the time to, you know, look at the career, look at everything that you have done, and just say, wow?
Not really. I mean, I'm always really busy, you know, working and, as far as the Hall of Fame was concerned, I never thought we were going to get involved in it anyway. And, you know, it was a complete surprise to us. You know, the first, you know, after 25 years, you're eligible. And after the first 5 years after that, you're thinking, well, hey, we got a chance. We're going to get in the Hall of Fame. And then 10 years goes by and you're thinking, well, maybe not. And then 15 years goes by, and you're thinking, screw them. They don't know what the hell they're talking about anyway. You know, it's like that. And then all of a sudden, you get a phone call saying, you guys have made it into the Hall of Fame. Oh, my God. You know, should I do something like what Todd Rundgren's doing and just say, you know, this isn't baseball, you know? But I think it's worth going and having people think you did a good job, you know, that means something. So
I've even joined some of the Cheap Trick fan clubs on Facebook, and I follow it, so that's a lot of fun. Final question for you, because I know you have a lot of things going on. You know, I ask a lot of the fighters, you know, the craziest, strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened to them in the middle of a fist fight, and the answers are unbelievable. So I'm going to ask you, only on stage and not in fist fight, what's the craziest, strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a show?
Oh, God. Well, there's a couple dangerous things that have happened to us. I don't know. We were years ago, when we were at the height of our career, we played the Chicago Amphitheater, and this is a terrible story, but some idiot brought an M80. I think it was the 4th of July, and some idiot brought an M80 almost onto the stage and was like going to throw it up on the stage, but he hit a girl in the back of her head, and it got caught in her hair. And it kind of blew half her face off, and the ambulance had to come in, and you know they carried her out, and she survived, but God knows, you know, she was scarred for life probably. That was horrible.
How about an uplifting one now?
An uplifting one? Okay.
Yeah.
okay. Let's see. We were playing in Santa Monica. And This is, I think, during Heaven Tonight. We opened for the Go-Go, not the Go-Go's. We opened for, you know, Joan Jett's old band, the Runaways. And I look over, and there is Johnny Winter and Rod Stewart standing there watching us perform. And I'm thinking, Jesus, you know, oh, that was very cool.
Wow. It does sound it. Robin, thank you very much, you know, for calling in. I'm looking forward, and we're going to talk about the other two events here in a second. Hopefully, okay, we'll get to see you on the 23rd up in Orlando. Tell the family we said hi. If we didn't get your address, I'll text you later. We have a couple thank you gifts that we're going to send you for coming on.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, and I hope to see you guys.
All right. Thanks, Robin.
That's awesome.
All right. So long.
That is your lead singer, Hall of Famer.
I mean, I got to say, I got a new favorite band.
Robinson.
The guy's a rock star.
He's literally more than a rock star. He's more than a rock star.
And look, if you're not going to have an original member, have it be offspring of one of the original
members. Well, they do have the original members, but, right. You know, so many funny stories about Cheap Trick, and I know that I've told you the story that growing up, Cheap Trick was one of my older brother's favorite bands.
Yeah.
So my brother and I don't get along. For whatever reason. So I'm like, whatever, Cheap Trick, whatever. You know, obviously I heard of him. And then I meet Robin at the Mike Allstott event, and we become friends. And, you know, I've seen him numerous times. I saw him in Vegas and hung out with him. And kind of a funny story. So, you know, I go to the CES every year.
Yep.
And hopefully he's not on the line anymore as I'm telling these stories. But so I go to the CES every year, and we used to go to, I forget the name of the company, Beats. It was involved with Beats. It was some kind of cable.
Monster Cable.
It was Monster Cable.
Yeah.
And the guy would have these massive CES parties, and they'd give out tons of these awards. But at the end, they had Earth, Wind & Fire. They had Alicia Keys. Every year was somebody different.
Sure.
So towards the end of it, you know, they kind of scaled it down a little bit, and they had the guitarist from Aerosmith, Joe Perry.
Yeah.
And I had to pick up my brother-in-law at the airport. And I'm like, it's Joe Perry. All right, whatever. You know, not the biggest Aerosmith. I couldn't tell you much about them. You know, obviously I know who they are and all that kind of stuff, but whatever. So I'm sitting in my car waiting to pick up my brother-in-law, which is 2 hours. His plane lands in 2 hours. And I get a press release. Earth-shattering news. Monster Cables. Joe Perry adds Robin Zander to tonight's event. I was at the, it's that bowling place in Vegas, if you're familiar with Vegas. Hollywood Bowl, I think it might be called. And so I went to get in there, like, oh, you can't come in yet. It's not open until 7. I said, all right, I'll just stand right here. It's no big deal. It was like 5. So they come back a couple of minutes later, and they're like, all right, why don't you just come on in? You can come sit down. So I'm sitting down, and all of a sudden I hear music around the corner. And so I walk around the corner, and they're doing the sound check. And it's Joe Perry and Robin Zander.
That's awesome.
And just, they put on a private concert for me, I guess. It was awesome.
So did your brother get to meet Robin? Has he met Robin?
Yeah, he has.
Yes?
Yeah. You know, we may not get along, but yeah. So out of the clear blue, he's like, I'm in Minnesota. I'm going to Cheap Trick tonight. I'm like, you should have told me. Why? You'll see. So yeah, they met him. And then my sister and brother met him in Charlotte.
Okay.
And my younger brother's like, you know, he likes meeting people, but he doesn't like to be embarrassed. He, you know, which almost happened with DDP because they didn't let us down. And then Paige wanted to meet him and blah, 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 blah. So they go to meet him, and they go to the meet and greet, and my brother's like, you know, they're not going to know who Randy is. You know, this is, come on, I'm not going to, this isn't going to be happy. And so they got through the line, and then my sister's like, yeah, I'm Randy's sister, and oh, Randy's great, Charity. So it was kind of cool. Kind of a little slap to my brother. That was cool.
Nice. It's always good when you slap a little brother around.
Older brother.
Oh, older brother.
Yeah. I'm saying when my older brother got it, it was like, yeah, that was cool. So, but yeah, so before I forget and before we go to the break, here are the events. On November 23rd at the Amway Center, it's called the Charity Pros for Heroes. It's a charity event for frontline health workers and first responders. That the Orlando one is John Fogerty, and I forgot his name because I confused it with Foreigner, and Casey Bishop and Cheap Trick. But they also have an event on the 20th. In Tampa,
okay,
with Foreigner.
Oh,
now I don't know how many original Foreigner members are there.
Okay,
with the same cast without Cheap Trick, and on the 21st in Estero, with John Ford, Fogerty, Foreigner. That's what happens when you combine
Foreigner,
the Foreigner and Farfugan.
Say Farfugan.
Yeah. So the 20th, 21st, those three. And then on the 23rd, again, which is my wife's birthday, Cheap Trick replaces Foreigner.
Wow.
Right. And we ran Robin, his music. He came out with a Christmas song. And we ran that. Robin's like, hey, would you like to hear it? I'm like, I'd love to hear it. You know, so good dude. All right, awesome. We're way over. Let's go hit this break. More shenanigans when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Son.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is LaDainian Thomas, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is former WWE wrestler Tugboat, a.k.a. Typhoon of the Natural Disaster. And have you been to the best gym in downtown St. Pete? If you haven't, there's no better time than now. Suncoast Fitness is locally owned and operated. They have that old school feeling you just don't find anymore. Suncoast Fitness has plenty of cardio, machines, and free weights. It's more than just a gym. It's a family. Stop in and tell Hunter you heard it on the radio and your first workout's free. 33 6th Street South, St. Pete, Florida. Suncoast Fitness. We're just different.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Matt Millen down in Tampa. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
I was just listening to the rock and roll. Is that a fine? But so things change on a dime, and I believe.
Okay.
Well, and I said at the beginning, make sure you go to the website. To check for, you know, information, you know, on all of those charity events. I'll give the website again real quick. It is pros for this. The event is for Pros for Heroes. It's the charitypros.org. And I'm being told now that Foreigner is not at the Tampa show.
Okay.
That possibly it's just the 21st in Estero.
Okay.
And you know how much I hate driving to Orlando?
You do.
I hate it.
But you'll gladly go.
Foreigner in Tampa, I'm a huge Foreigner.
Yeah. Steve Perry Foreigner? Or?
First of all, Steve Perry was Journey.
Oh.
But whatever. Different. Just sit there.
They're like the same thing.
No, they're not.
Kind of.
Double vision, cold as ice. Come on. No. I was a big Foreigner guy in the day. But, yeah, I'll drive to Orlando on the 23rd. And two of the coolest things, Cheap Trick-wise. So my wife and I drove up to a show. I think it was at, not the Hard Rock. It's the other one. There's something else. I can't think of the name. It's,
where, Tampa?
No, this is in Orlando.
Orlando. I don't know. I don't know Orlando well enough.
Well, Billy will probably hit me up with it. I can't think of House of Blues. Thank you. So it's not Ed, but just sit there and be quiet. So we went to the House of Blues, and it gets dark, right? And I know FCC, so the F word, but I won't say it. So all of a sudden, the MC comes on. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest blankety rock and roll band of all time, Cheap Trick. And, you know, when you become friends with somebody, you know, whether it's an athlete or a musician, you don't look at it like that. You know, like, I didn't look at Cheap Trick as one of the greatest rock bands of all time. I just looked at it. This is a super cool dude in a really good band. You know what I'm saying? As stupid as that is. So then I'm watching the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Sure.
And, you know, when they get in the fight and then they go to talking about Live Aid. And the guy starts saying, well, the greatest bands in the world are performing. The Who. U2, Cheap Trick. And I'm like, wow. You know, because I know Cheap Trick is
massive.
They're one of my favorite bands, but you don't look at it that way.
And they were before all the other stars. I mean, they all give tribute to them, saying that was like their style. That's what inspired them to become what they are, you know, what they became. So, yeah, they're iconic for sure.
They are iconic.
And who sings, we said Double Vision again?
That would be Foreigner.
Do you know who else had Double Vision?
The guy who drove in Las Vegas at 3:30 in the morning.
That guy and Benoit St. Denis, who was a part of the beatdown of the UFC Saturday night, where the referee was pulled for allowing that beating to occur.
Oh, my God. You know, it's so many things I want to say about it, but I could go either way.
Okay.
You know, seriously, I could. You know, in the corner should have protected their fighter, but the trainer said he would have never in his entire life
threw in the towel. Right. So he was going to allow his fighter to take a beating that could end his career. I mean, that kind of damage. Yeah, you lose the fight.
You don't even need that kind of damage.
You take a loss, it hurts your record, it sucks. But you lose a fight, you keep going. You take damage like that, you take a beat down like that, it changes you as a man.
Absolutely.
Changes. Look at Ronda Rousey. I mean, you got the head kick.
One leg kick?
I mean, it changed her life.
Well, it's anything. It's, you know, I remember when Nogueira, you know, got knocked out in training. It changes.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, a lot of that stuff definitely does change. You know, look what happened when Deontay Wilder's guy, can't remember his name, threw in the towel and stopped, and then he got fired.
Right, Mark.
Breland. You know, a professional champion, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, you can't not do it because, I mean, if he was to say, and he never would, but if he was to say, I didn't throw in the towel because I didn't want to lose my job, then he should go into the same cell as Rudd. But if he's saying, I know my fighter, you know, he wouldn't want that. I wouldn't do it for him. You know, but I'm pretty sure you'll never see that guy ref a UFC again. But then again, a lot of the other bad ones have still popped up for a while.
They kind of circulate. You forget about it, and then they keep coming.
Well, the problem is, and it's like anything. It's like referees for the NFL. It's any of that kind of stuff, is that you don't want to bring up new talent, you know, whether it's fighters, whether it's referees, you know, judges, whatever, because these are the experienced guys. But how do you get experience
if you don't replace them
and move them up? It's one of those double-edged sword kind of things.
And we have a
sword.
And we saw, you know, on the UFC 267, I mean, we saw Glover Teixeira at 42 years old win the light heavyweight championship of the world. Thoughts?
I'm afraid to, because I want to be credentialed.
Oh, no.
I love Glover. You know, I really do. I mean, he's a great person. You know, I've met him. He was at Tiger's World back in the day when we had the open workout before your time, I think.
Yep.
Because Wags was still involved.
Sure.
How bad do you want me to get in trouble?
Go all the way. If you're gonna go all the way.
Do you think the light heavyweight division is going to change after every fight for a while?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that's saying more about the division.
Right.
You know.
And it changes over.
Do you not think John Jones could come back next week and win the belt back? Okay. I do.
It's still his belt.
Well, it's not his belt. It's not his belt.
Just give it to him.
It's not his belt. It's Glover's. But I'm just saying, it's not a killer division right now.
In a John Jones dominated era, he would be top five guy.
I hate to say it, but I think John Jones today era. Yeah. It doesn't have to be at his top era. And that's not Glover's fault.
Right. It's just the goat is in your weight division.
It's just I don't think, you know, this isn't the welterweight division. This isn't where your top five guys, anybody, you know, is a tough fight. You know, people are already, he's probably the underdog already.
I would look forward to that Glover Teixeira versus Anthony Smith rematch, because Anthony went out on a shield. He almost, his corner, you know, should have thrown in the towel. He was taking a beating that he might not have come back from. But his last couple fights, he looks more mature. He looks more focused. And I think that rematch is something I would be interested in seeing.
And I'm going to let you butcher his name, but I think he has more wins than strikes have hit him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good luck. And don't use the name that Colby Covington is calling him. But, you know, and to be honest.
Hasabat?
Isn't that the other guy?
No, that's Hezbollah.
Oh. Where did this guy come from?
Well, I don't know. What is he, a puppet? Like, what is he? Like?
No, he's a grown. He's a man. What? He's like 18, 19 years old, and they're carrying him around like a puppet.
But Dan Hooker said he was going to punt him. I don't know. But what is he? Is he like a sideshow?
I have no idea. I honestly, because I live in the woods, I don't watch news. I don't do research. I don't do anything. We just talk. I didn't even know who it was what it was.
What's it's a man.
I thought it was a child.
Well, but he has a dwarfism. He's 18 years
obviously.
Old. He's a fighter. So he says he's coming to the UFC to fight. He adopted the greatest fighter maybe of all time in Khabib.
He adopted Khabib or Khabib adopted him?
No, he adopted his last name. So he's got Khabib's last name. He's in with all the fighters, Islam and Kazuma and all these guys.
And then he almost got in a fight with another young adult.
But not to be funny, because I'm not making an insensitive joke here. I'm being serious. But the UFC built its whole foundation on no weight classes. Anyone could compete to see which discipline was the greatest fighting style. Sumo, you would have 600-pound fighters versus Dan Severn at 250. You had Hoist Gracie at 135 fighting sumo wrestlers. Would they do a weight class for a dwarf or a midget? And
you'd still lose.
I'm just saying, not me. I'm just saying, if it was equal weight classes, height, whatever.
All right, we're gonna blow through this breakthrough.
Would the UFC consider it?
Probably. You can't answer that. Who knows? Who knows what Dana's thinking? You know, or whoever the powers that be. Speaking of the powers that be, one of my powers.
Yeah. What do you
okay?
got?
You got well, powers? You know, the powers that be. There are a few people that I, you know, kind of look up to, and you know, kind of like for. Direction.
Oh, yeah.
And this person will live, his name will live in our family for a long, long time. And we'll tell the story right now. Let's welcome to the program. I'd like to call him my brother, but he's more like my son because I'm twice his age. Eve Edwards. Eve, how are you?
What's up, Granddaddy? How you doing, man?
Granddaddy.
Well, and there it is to tell the story real quick. So when my granddaughter was born a year and a half ago, and my son and my daughter-in-law, you know, they're like, what do you want to be called? I'm like, not late for dinner? I don't know. What are you getting at? So when my granddaughter can put words together and all that kind of stuff, my wife is Nana, and I am Randaddy. And that is because of you, Eve Edwards.
That's funny, Matt. That's good to hear. I'm glad I gave you a nickname that's going to last the test of time.
It is going to stick, at least until she knows more words to tell me, you know, get out of the house or can I have money for McDonald's or something like that. So how are you doing? How have you been? It's been a while.
It's been a minute, man. I felt like I was starting to not feel in love. And then one phone call, and you're like, man, I got to get you back on the show. And I'm like, oh, you really like me.
He cares. Well, let's see. You were in L.A. with Mickey. You had your roommate, Mickey. Then you moved, like, the Northeast. And I think you're now in Georgia somewhere, right?
Yep. I'm getting around the country, you know, trying to get a couple more states in before I'm back off to the Bahamas to retire and become old and sit on the beach and drink Bahama Mamas all day.
So you're like Matt, because Matt does that thing on Facebook where, you know, I've been to 62 of the states of the 100 that he wants to go to. He thinks there's 100 states, but, you know, whatever.
I was about to ask. I'm like, well, where do these other 48 states come from?
Yeah. No, I've been
like
to...
When I buy, like, a Pepperidge Farm three-layered coconut cake, I'm like, I eat it, and I'm done. And I'm like, I read the package, and it says 28 servings. And I'm like, where are my other 24 servings?
That's the best. So how many states do you need to get to finish out your map?
Man, honestly, I have to sit down with the calculator and get pen and paper, because I don't know. I've been to quite a few states, but and I know there's 52 of them, but I'm really bad at three things. And that's singing and counting. So I have to figure that out.
I've seen that. I don't know if it was on your Twitter or your Facebook. It's like, I'm really bad at three things. Whatever, one and two is counting.
Right.
And he doesn't do a three because he can't.
Right. So you and I have like 43 states. We're tied. And I think we're racing to 50,
we
right?
Are. Yeah.
So we'll see how we get there. Even if you want to join us, you can race us to 50.
I don't even know. I might be ahead of you guys right now. I might be at 59. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever been to Maine.
I stuck my toe in it.
I ate lobster there.
You know, so I don't know if that counts. You know, it's like we just went to a BKFC in, what was it, Nebraska, right?
Yeah,
and I did Omaha. I did a push-up in Iowa and Nebraska at the same time.
Did there and there. Okay, cool. I killed five birds with one stone at one point where Nevada, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado, I believe, me.
Yeah, I think it's like the four corners. There's that one circle.
See, he was bad at counting because he just said five states.
Yeah, you stay at one spot and you're in four states.
That would be cool. Do a push-up or a jumping jack there. So update us. What's going on? I know you just did a seminar. Is that you doing seminars all across the country or just in Georgia? Or
I do seminars at times, and I'm doing a few here in Georgia while I'm in this area. I'm going to link up with my friend Cole Miller. So I'm looking forward to that, because although I do want to visit all the states, I want to visit a lot of the cities in those states also. And I haven't been to Macon yet, so that's going to be fun. I'm raising my daughter with my wife down here in Georgia right now, visiting my mom, seeing my mom until, you know, we move on. But like I said, I don't want to be locked down here in Georgia. I may make a return to Texas very soon, though.
Well, you know, I think we hung out in Texas once or twice and went for some really good restaurants, really good food. But I understand, well, not understand because you told me, that you're going to be coming to Florida with Dustin.
So, yeah, Dustin and I have been talking about that. He wanted me to come down for some of his camp. And depending on the schedule, I may still come down, especially if you want me to come down there. I gotta make that kind of makes it more of a priority. But I definitely want to be out there for that fight with him against Charles Oliveira, because like, Dustin is my boy, man. I was there when he beat Max for the interim title. I wasn't able to go to Abu Dhabi for his fight with Khabib. I think that was part of I know Khabib is amazing. I know Khabib is like the greatest lightweight of all time, undefeated. But I think if I was there, I think the Thugs-Jitsu might have been too strong even for Khabib to deal with. So I want to make sure I'm out there in Las Vegas and bring that Thugs-Jitsu goal, or help support Dustin and him catching that WBC gold on December 11th. And but prior to that, yeah, Florida's on the books, man.
Well, I know you got something, Matt, but I'll be broadcasting that week in Las Vegas. So let's put something together so that, you know, if you're there, You know, you can sit in for this knucklehead across from me and co-host the show. Matt doesn't co-host. Matt is the co-host. But if you're there in Vegas that week, you can co-host the show.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like when you bring me on and I get more seniority than people that are there all the time. I really appreciate that.
Well, again, it's longevity. I've known you longer than him. I like you more than I like him. So
all those are true statements.
So if I'm on the show when Matt is on there, can I tell him what to do and stuff like that? Like,
oh, absolutely.
What do you do now?
I was going to say that. No. You don't have to be on the show to tell Matt what to do. Feel free.
That's awesome. Get me a cup of coffee, Matt.
So we just talked to Osborne earlier.
Thanks for paying attention.
First segment. We talked about Jamaica and how the culture's changed down there because, you know, economic distress and you know, fighting is a way for guys to get out and to get out of their situation from poverty, et cetera. What's it like in the Bahamas? Is there a culture there? Is there fighting down in that region of the world?
You know, like, a lot of Bahamians love martial arts, you know, but it's traditional.
But it's not their but it's not their first love in the Bahamas.
I mean, the deep
first love.
You know?
What do they love first?
Unlike those Jamaican gaps.
Right, you know? Right, exactly. No, just like the Jamaicans.
But, no, man, there's a real love for martial arts in the Bahamas, but I feel like the traditional martial arts has such a stronghold in the Bahamas. There's a lot of young guys out there that do want to train mixed martial arts, but this is just so limited, man. And that is definitely something I'm going to do before I'm completely done, is help bring more opportunities for mixed martial arts back home to the Bahamas. We have so many great athletes down there, so many young men who mixed martial arts can definitely be a positive thing for, to help them get out of some financial situations that because of lack of opportunity down there, but also some growth, you know, find some personal growth within the sport, learn how to deal with some tough situations, because mixed martial arts, man, there's nothing tougher. I think, like, as one of the newest sports in the world, I think mixed martial arts is right up there with wrestling and marathon running and these things that you have to dig real deep and you have to face yourself and not back down and back away from something that's succeeded it, and mixed martial arts is that, and I think that could really help a lot of young behaviors, men and women.
Obviously, there's nothing anybody can do about the question I'm about to ask, but, you know, a lot of times I'll ask, you know, have you ever thought about, you know, if you were 12 years younger, or, you know, 15 years younger, and you were active, and, you know, you could do today what you did when you were fighting in the UFC. Have you ever kind of thought about that just for the sake of thinking about it?
You mean, have I ever thought about that just for the sake of being
thinking about
mad and upset that, like, there's so much money in the sport now, and my prime just happened to be a few years before that were the case? Is that what you mean? Is that what you're trying to ask me?
Like, well, yeah, but taking it one step further than my good friend and son, Eve Edwards, you know, it could have been worse, and you could have come along 10 years sooner than you did, which would have been less money and opportunity.
Especially for the weight class that I existed in. You know, 150. I remember being a young man watching the first three UFCs, and then they started with their weight classes, and they remember that the first lightweight class was 199 pounds, which is below 200 pounds, and I was like, I'm 5'9", I could be 200 pounds, because Rod Woodson is 5'9", he's 200 pounds. And I remember this picture of Rod Woodson in a magazine at the time. You remember Rod Woodson, the safety for the Steelers. And, like, he was jacked, ripped, and shredded. So, like, I was going to the gym lifting every day. I'm drinking muscle milk and weight gainer and everything else to get bigger and strong, and, you know, wanting to put on that mass, and I was going to be, like, a physical specimen like Rod Woodson. And then, you know, they introduced 107, I think it was 175, no, 185, and then 175. But even when they introduced 185, I was like, oh, that's even better for me. And they introduced 170, 175, and I was like, oh, that's better. But that all changed to 170 after a time. And my very first fight was against Matt Thurman. That was officially a welterweight bout. You know, we both weighed in like 160-something, but we were both at a welterweight. And it could have been different. I could have been in it 10 years earlier and never got an opportunity to compete in the UFC. But I came at a decent time. And I get a lot of feedback from a lot of young guys now. I've inspired some guys. It's so flattering, man. When a guy like Andre Feely tells you that, man, you're one of those guys I looked up to and part of the reason why I'm doing this, you know? That touches you. Like, that touches you right in the heart, man. And I've heard that from quite a few guys, and that's something I really appreciate, and that's an accomplishment I'm proud to have. Even though not a lot of people know about it, for me, that means so much.
Well, how do they not know about you? You're in the montage to start every UFC fight.
Yeah, but my name is not on there, so they're just like, oh, man, that's the guy who did the crazy kick. And also, now that my hair is grown out, people don't even recognize me. I'm like incognito.
So, okay, Dean Thomas.
Obviously, you know, back when you were fighting in the prime, and you know, you didn't really have anything after the UFC to look forward to. But now bare knuckle is on the landscape. You know, you see guys like Melvin Gilliard coming over and Joe Riggs. You know, is it something that you would ever consider?
No.
What? I'm just asking the question.
No.
Why? If James Tomey can come back and fight, he's just announced a fight coming up.
Go ahead, Eve. Answer.
So, here's the thing. I've done bare knuckle, like, early in my career. I did quite a few bare knuckle fights. I have a bare knuckle fight with a guy that was like 200 plus pounds, and I was walking around buck 60 something. Real quick story on that. Boss Rutan was coming to Houston. He was like one of my heroes. He emailed my coach. I asked my coach if I could email him. I emailed Boss, and Boss actually responded to me. He was the king of pancreas at the time. He was just prior to his UFC debut, and he told me he was coming to Houston. I was supposed to fight in Dallas that same night. I called the promoter in Dallas, and I was like, I'm not coming up there. I go to the arena that Boss is fighting at, and I walk into the rules meeting, and I just announce, hey, if somebody doesn't have an opponent tonight, I'll fight him. So I didn't stick around for the rules meeting. I got an opponent. My roommate was like, did you see your fight? And it was like some big guy. He's like, I was like, no. He's like, he's like 6'2", like 220. He's jacked. I didn't care. I just wanted to fight in front of Boss. And this was bare knuckle. You know, this is in 1999. So, when you see these bare knuckle fights now, it's like, okay, two guys the same size, this is very different. Now, I'm like, I would not do that at all. I would never do that. That's crazy. It must be nuts to be doing bare knuckle. When I was a kid, I was a very different person. I was definitely not as smart as I am now, because I wouldn't do bare knuckle that. There's no way that's happening. That's nuts. And then my wife is 10 years younger than me, and still she's the world champion of the house, and I don't think she will allow it, so... Even if I wanted to, I don't think it would happen.
Well, A, I wouldn't allow it either, and B, you probably had bare knuckle fights in high school, elementary school, kindergarten.
I did have a lot of those.
Talk about some fights that you are intrigued, whether they've already happened and they interest you, or maybe some fights in any organization that's coming up other than the Dustin Poirier, because we know that's a number one on your list. But what are some things that you've enjoyed either watching or you're looking forward to watching?
Well, one thing that I've really enjoyed watching is Khamzat Chimaev. I actually saw him training at Alliance in Sweden probably about 6 to 8 months before he made his UFC debut. I didn't know who he was. I was over in Sweden with my buddy Sadab Usi, and he went over to Alliance for some sparring. Those guys invited him over. The community over there is pretty close to each other. And I remember watching him move around with that guy, and I was like, oh man, that guy's really good. But I had no idea who Khamzat Chimaev was. Didn't even know his name at the time. I mean, I learned it that day and met him, but until I saw him fight in the UFC, I had no true idea how good he really was. He just looked good in the room. But you know how there are these practice heroes who always look good. But, like, really, his last fight out there with Jin Liang, man, I mean, the guy picks up Jin Liang, walks over to Dana, keeps his eyes on him the entire time when he slams him. And, he's just been really impressive. So, like, I'm looking forward to seeing his next two fights. And should they go the same way, he should be guaranteed a title shot. And that really is one of the fights that I'm really most excited about that's potentially on the horizon. Kamzat Chimaev versus Kamaru Usman, man. I'm a huge Kamaru Usman fan. I've constantly watched him improve. I've seen his improvement. I remember when he fought Sergio Moraes, and I'm thinking to myself, man, like, I remember that fight, and I was like, man, his striking has gotten better. He's been improving consistently, and since then, he's done so much. He's constantly improved. I think so much of Jorge Masvidal, and for Usman to take out Jorge Masvidal like he did, striking, that was amazing. So the potential fight of Kamzat Chimaev and Kamaru Usman, I look forward to that. But like this weekend coming up, man, I don't know if anything excites me more. Like, I like the Usman Kobe Covington rematch. I like Amanda and Juliana Pena. But like Michael Chandler and Justin Gaethje, I really am excited about that one, man. I it's crazy because like I want both those guys to win, but I also want both those guys to get a knockout. So we'll see how that plays out.
I remember going to quite a few fights like that, not, you know, rooting against either one, because I try not to ever root against. You know, as you know, there's certain times that I do root. But like that time that you fought, I think it was Joe Stevenson, I hated life. Huh? I hated life. I really didn't want to be in Vegas that night. You know, because it's two guys that I really... So I hate when two guys I really like and respect and good guys fight. But like you've always told me, I mean, that's what you do for a living. You know, as a fan or as media, we may not like it, but I remember people telling me how much they hated fighting you because there wasn't a single person that ever said anything bad about you.
I feel like now everybody's saying something bad.
I was going to say that. I was waiting for you to say something, and then I was going to say maybe it's changed, but at least when you fought, everybody loved you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they just loved me because they didn't want me to be vicious towards them. I was a dangerous guy for a while. But I don't know, man. There's something about the fight game. I feel the same way that you do. I don't like it when there are two guys that I like, two guys that I consider friends, going in there against each other, you know? Poirier is my buddy. He's my boy. I always root for him. It doesn't matter. There's not a single lightweight that you can name that I would root for get over Dustin Poirier. But even when his fight with Dan Hooker, I'm a huge Dan Hooker fan. It's like, I like the fight as a fight fan, but I don't like this fight as a person, as a human being, because I know both these guys. I don't know Dan Hooker as well as I know Dustin Poirier, but I see it in him. I see there's no quitting that dog, and like, you're gonna have to dig deep for that one, and both neither guy's gonna break. But like, that's the other thing. People that I like generally, and especially the guys who are my friends, that's who they are, man. They're not going to break. They're not gonna quit. And so it's kind of weird for me, because anytime two of my friends are competing against each other, I'm like, oh, man, somebody's got to lose, and that part of it sucks. But then the part of me that's a fight fan is like, but this is going to be so fire, because both these guys are dogs, and they're going to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you can separate like that. I remember when Matt Hughes fought Matt Serra, and we auctioned off both set of gloves for the Ryan Bennett Fund and all that stuff. So after the fight, they both came up to me and said, so who did you think won? And you know what I said?
The fans.
I said, I didn't watch. Well, you know, and to be honest, and I say this on the show all the time, Eve, as a judge here in the state of Florida, I find it's not professional of a fan, of media, of even a fighter, to say who won a fight when they don't watch all 5 minutes of the round.
Yeah.
So there's times when I, you know, I've said this on the show, and Matt will, you know, agree, I'll purposely look away for 10 seconds just so I can't say who won because I didn't watch it start to finish. It's a cop out, but I do it.
I hear you, but sometimes that 10 seconds, something significant can happen. And I hate when that happens, man. Usually it's when my wife asks me a question or the baby, you know, needs something. And I look away for just a second, and something devastating happens and changes the whole complexity of the round, and I missed it. I got to wait for the replay.
Well, how many media guys said their laptop open and they're typing what's going on to the round, but they're not watching the current fight? You know, they're typing in Media Row.
That's why I don't type. I don't know how to type.
They have no idea what happened in the fight, but they're reporting on it like it was live.
Yeah, that's why I could never be a media reporter, man, because, like, my chicken pecking, I would be on, like, the second prelim during the event.
Using the two fingers and clicking away. So who do you like in Rose's fight?
Oh, man, I like Rose. I'm a huge Rose Namajunas fan, you know. I think Zhang Weili, she's tough. She's you know, she was on a 20-something plus fight win streak. And Rose came out and clipped her and put her down. But I think Weili is tough, strong, physical, real physical at 115 pounds for the women. And I think she could if she changes the game, she fights this fight differently than the first one, she could cause a lot of problems for Rose. But I think in the end, man, Rose is that girl, man. She's going to dig deep and she's going to find a way. I think the things that she's gone through, having the belt before, coming back, and the way she lost it, you know, just I don't know if it was a lapse in thought or judgment or just a critical error, but I just feel like she learned every time out there, whether she wins or loses. But of course, she gets a bigger lesson from the losses. And I just think the way she performed the last time against Weili, I think her confidence is going to be real high. And I think if she can establish that in the first 2 minutes, it's going to look very similar. But I think also if Zhang Weili changes the game on her, puts pressure on her, tries to out-wrestle her, muscle her up a lot, I think Rose is going to find a way to get through that storm and make the fight happen the way she wants and once again get her hand raised.
And something like you just said a couple minutes ago, the real winner will be the fans.
Yeah,
you know, whether they're in attendance in New York or they're watching on ESPN Plus, they will be the winners as well. Eve, thank you very much. I loved having you on. Let's not make it as long as since the last time. Let's talk about you getting to the Tampa Bay area. Let's plan on working out details to having you co-host in Vegas next month. And we'll go get some great barbecue.
Hold on. Before you let it go, your coffee's ready.
God, you're slow. You're slow.
That's like a statement.
Yeah, man. Now I got to leave it. I got to leave it. I want you to stare at that coffee and think about what you did.
There you go. I know that we have your address. I'm going to send you a care package from Ape Man Strong. We're going to send you some earbuds from Jabra Electronics, as well as some of the coolest socks around at oddsockofficial.com. I'll give you a call in a little bit. I'll tell you how you can pick which ones you want, even though they're not happy I do it that way. But I want to make sure you get the socks that you want. They're really kick butt. It's pretty cool. Say hi to the family. Say hi to your mom. It's been way too long since I've talked to her. And I'll talk to you real soon.
Will do, Randaddy. Thanks for the call, man. It's always good to talk to you, and you guys take care. Don't do anything. I don't know how.
All right, take care. That one of the coolest guys, one of the first guys that I kind of got involved with, did the show on a regular basis. I wish I kept records.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've always said, you know, if I went back in time, I wouldn't change anything, and I probably wouldn't, but I would have like taking notes. I would have done the journals and, you know, how many times is, you know, this guy been on. And I'm curious, and there's no way for me to know, but who I would have had on first, Dean or Eve. And I don't think they look anything alike, but everybody's like, because Dean used to always say, you know, people have said that we're twins.
I don't see that.
I don't see it.
But, yeah, I mean, do you keep, like, archives? Do you keep, do you have, like, all the recordings of all your shows? Like,
I stopped years ago. But
when you started radio was what? Like on cassette, right? Right, recorded on cassette?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
VHS?
It was probably an 8-track.
Tablet?
I walked down with Moses and the 20 tablets, and one of those 4 tablets was my first show.
And he's over there chicken pecking.
Right, exactly.
Concrete blocker.
I have boxes of cassettes. And again, you know, it probably doesn't say like, you know, 2012, whatever year, and said to guess. It just says, you know, Talking Sports with Randy Harris or Knockout Radio, you know, February 3rd, 1912. You know, so I don't know who was on it. But, like, I just found 3 crates in the garage.
Oh, did you?
But I'm not going to listen to them to see what's on it.
Really?
I will pay you. I'll double your salary.
Okay.
If you listen through every tape to find the Dusty Rhodes interview.
Oh, wow. That'd be a lot.
I would love to have
a lot of interviews.
I don't know when.
But there's so much stuff on there. Who knows who you've interview.
I couldn't narrow it down because Kate was involved. So, you know, if you go, you know, who the co-host, or in your case, the co-host is at the time.
Sure.
You know, I can kind of figure out error. But, yeah, it would definitely be cool to find out. Big show this weekend, BKFC in
New York,
in Buffalo area. Because Steve Lene just posted a picture of Niagara, so it's got to be closer than you thought it was.
It's not that close.
And UFC 268, Kamaru Usman, top of the list right now, pound for pound. I'm excited
Says
about
he wants
it.
To fight Canelo for a super fight.
We are out. Everybody enjoy. I will post what and where we'll be doing next week as I'm going way underground. I want to thank all of our guests, including Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Robin Zander, coming to perform on the 23rd in Orlando. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. See everybody next week.
I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Larry the Cable Guy from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.